Hi, everyone. It's Bob Cameradello for Boxcar 711 Old Time Radio. You're about to hear another episode from that golden age of radio. Don't forget, gang, just an email away, boxcar711 at hotmail.com.
Snake-like beside the river. It was an old river, wide and sluggish, with tired hills rolling off on each side. A lonesome, desolate river. The early November twilight slipped across the mountain. The hills gazed reproachfully at the river and began putting on gray shrouds for night. I pulled my truck coat close around me and turned on the headlights. 3 hours from the city by car, she said on the phone. Money is no object, Mr. Roach. That was just about all she had said, in a voice as distant as the North Pole and twice as cold. Annabelle Gunston. Couldn't place the name, but it had a vaguely familiar sound. The rain came in torrents, flashed against the windshield. Suddenly, a tall iron gate appeared on the right side of the road. The gate stood open under a crescent of faded iron letters that spelled Gunston Lodge. I swung the car through the gate and into a steep, tree-lined gravel drive. After about a quarter of a mile, the house came into view. It stood directly on top of a cliff that sheered off to the river 200 feet below. It was a big house. Big and old. Its old-fashioned turret looked like bony fingers reaching toward the leaden sky. There was a knock on the front door.
Yes, sir?
My name is Runyon. I believe Miss Gunston is expecting me.
Which Miss Gunston, sir?
Are there more than one?
There are three Miss Gunston, sir. Miss Francis, Miss Laura, and Miss Annabelle.
I'll try Miss Annabelle.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Okay, but tell Miss Annabelle that Mr. Runyon is here.
Yes, sir. Just come inside. I'll tell her.
Oh, hello, big boy. You're pretty fat. You're kind of good-looking fat.
That could be a cue for something, is it?
Maybe. I heard you tell Thorne you came to see Annabelle. Now, why would a man come to see her?
If she looks like you, I might be able to answer that.
She doesn't look like me or act like me.
Later. Business before pleasure.
I don't like business. But I like you. You're nice. What do you think about that?
I think somebody ought to give you a good spanking.
That's what they all say. But they all like me. Even Brutus and that sneaky doctor of Laura's. But Brutus is gone now.
Miss Gunston, we'll see you now, Mr. Lutton.
Okay.
Don't forget that drink, brown eyes.
That'll be the first time. This way, sir. Who was that, son?
Miss Francis, sir. The youngest of the three sisters.
Interesting girl.
Yes, sir.
She mentioned somebody named Brutus. Oh, that might be.
Her father, sir. Mr. Brutus Gunston.
She said he'd gone away.
Yes, sir.
Long trip?
Quite long, sir. Mr. Brutus died last week.
Come in, Mr. Runyon. That'll be all, Thorne.
Yes, Miss Annabelle.
Sit down, Mr. Runyon. I must apologize if I appear to be nervous, but I've been extremely upset.
I understand. Cigarette?
No. And I'd prefer if you did not smoke in my presence.
Okay. your sister hasn't seen the lion.
My sister? You've seen my sister?
The young one downstairs in the hall.
Frances.
Mm-hmm.
That is unfortunate. Sir William, my younger sisters and I do not see eye to eye in a great many matters, one of which is my reason for asking you to come here. I might add that my younger sister, Frances, is not quite all she might be.
I see what you mean.
She caused my poor father untold trouble.
I understand he died last week, I'm sorry.
Yes, with a terrible blow. And, Mr. Runyon, it has to do with my reason for sending for you.
I see. Suppose you tell me all about it.
My father did not die of natural causes, Mr. Runyon. He was murdered.
Murdered? Why didn't you call in the police?
I couldn't call the police because there was no proof, no evidence. He supposedly died of a heart attack. That's why I've hired you. I want you to find proof of my father's murderer. I want you to find his murderer.
If there wasn't any evidence of murder, what makes you so sure? What did the doctor say? Didn't you mention your suspicions?
Of course I did. I told all of them, and they laughed at me. Said I was imagining things. And that doctor, he said it was a heart attack.
If it wasn't his heart, what was it?
Oh, it was a heart attack, all right. That's why there was no proof. Even a broken bottle of pills on the floor, the disarranged bedclothes.
So what about the broken bottle?
Father had some pills. I don't know exactly what they were, but he took them for relief whenever an attack started. He kept them on the table beside his bed. He died late at night. The bottle of pills was lying on the floor, broken. Of course, Dr. Taylor said Father had obviously knocked them over himself. I don't believe it.
You mean you think somebody deliberately knocked over the bottle when your father had the attack, so he couldn't reach the medicine?
I'm sure of it. I'm also sure that this attack was caused by something.
For instance?
For instance, sudden fright. Face and death is the most horrible expression of fear I've ever seen. My father was murdered, and I intend to find his murderer. That's why you're here. I'll pay you well.
What do you want me to do?
I want you to stay here in the house for a few days as a guest.
What do you think I can find out by doing that?
Mr. Runyon, I'm not a person to point the finger of suspicion without just and ample proof. But there are people in this house who will benefit by my poor father's death.
Meaning?
Meaning, first, my two sisters. My father was a sensible man. He was a very wealthy man. He'd arranged his wealth in such a manner that we three daughters should not come into money of our own until we reached the age of 35. Except in the case of his death. I am 40 years old. My sister Laura is 28 and my younger sister Frances is only 25.
Are you accusing your sisters of murder?
No. I'm only pointing out the fact that they benefit by his death. There are others in this house who benefit also.
The Butford?
My father's will left drawn $10,000.
You said others. Who else?
Dr. Taylor. My father's physician is staying in the house as a guest. He also stands an excellent chance of benefiting my father's death.
How?
He is engaged to marry my sister Laura.
Come in.
I beg your pardon, sir.
It's
Miss Annabelle. We can tell you the dinner will be served.
Good, I'm hungry. Oh, by the way, Thorn, it's raining pretty hard outside, and there's my car standing in the driveway.
I took the liberty of putting it away, sir. It's in the garage.
Oh, thank you.
If you would be so kind, sir, as to follow me. Follow you.
What do you mean?
Miss Laura would like a word with you, sir.
All right. Okay, what can I lose?
The room is just down the hall. It's that room there, sir.
Thank you, Thorn.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Thorn.
Yes, sir.
I was just wondering, how does it feel to inherit $10,000?
Beg your pardon, sir.
Never mind, Stephen.
Come in, quickly.
I must apologize for asking you to my room, but I had to see you in private.
Why?
You needn't pretend. You're a detective.
You know why I'm here.
Of course, that's too ridiculous. Father murdered. Why, it's absurd. He was a sick man. He died of a heart attack in the middle of the night.
Your sister Annabelle doesn't think it's so absurd.
Mr. Runyon, my sister Annabelle suffers from what you might call hallucinations. You don't know her very well. She's a strange woman. My father's death was a great shock to her. You see, she was very close to him, closer than my sister Frances or I. That's why I want to protect you before she makes a complete fool of herself.
In that case, it shouldn't do any harm for me to look around a little bit to humor her. Then I can tell her.
No, no, you don't understand. Don't you see, if people know that a detective is here, that the family thinks my father was murdered, surely you can see what that sort of talk might cause. That's why you must leave here at once, tonight.
I'm sorry, Miss Gunston, but I'm afraid I can't do that. Your sister's hired me and...
Very well, then. In that case, I'll tell you the truth.
It might help.
My sister Annabelle suffers from something worse than innocent hallucinations. You've seen her. You know what she looks like.
She certainly didn't get her share of the family looks.
Annabelle is much older than Frances and I. She never had boyfriends, never went out. Certainly never considered marriage. She devoted all her time to father, taking care of him, managing the home. Naturally, she was father's favorite. 10 years ago, she became quite ill, and father was forced to send her away for nearly a year.
Let's talk straight, Miss Laura. What do you mean ill? You mean insane?
Call it that if you want to. She was pronounced cured and returned home. I'm sure you can understand now why I...
Lord, who the Annabelle has hired her.
Really, Ray, don't you think you should knock?
I'm sorry, Laura.
This is Mr. Runyon.
I do.
My fiancé, Dr. Taylor.
Are you going to say something, Doctor? Don't let me stop you.
Well,
Mr. Runyon is a detective, Ray. Annabelle hired him because she feels her father was murdered.
Silly, Mr. Runyon.
Maybe I ought to find that out for myself. Bridget Johnston died of a heart attack.
How did you, Doctor? I don't know what caused his death.
Yeah, you should. But I'd like to ask...
Wait a minute. There's somebody outside that door.
Looking for something, Thorn?
No, sir. It is Annabelle wanted me to announce the dinner is here.
In a candlelit room big enough for a basketball game. There's no talking, very little eating. A lot of looking, mostly at me. The candles threw brief flickering shadows of the green ceiling. A big wooden fire at one end of the room caught the shadows and tossed them to a rain-splashed French window on the opposite side. The young one, Frances, sat on my right in a low-cut evening dress that only she could wear. She wore a delicate perfume that did what it was supposed to do. Thorn had gone out for the dessert when she squeezed my hand lightly under the table. The doctor and Laura were across from me, silent. Annabelle sat grimly at the head of the table, staring at the windows. The flickering fire behind her gave her thin, repressed face a skull-like appearance.
Annabelle!
What's the matter? Annabelle!
The window! The window! There was a face against the window!
Did you see anything?
No.
Annabelle, you're sure you saw something.
Yes, I thought it was horrible.
There was nothing there,
Miss Annabelle. Oh. No, of course it's not there now. It's
stayed a second. Did you recognize it?
You won't believe me, but I did.
Who was it?
It was Farmer.
Nonsense, Annabelle.
I tell you, I saw him. I know he was murdered now. He was trying to tell me something.
Stop it, Annabelle. You're upset. You're imagining things. I'm talking too much.
I can't stand anymore.
Come on, Annabelle. You'd better lie down.
I'll give you
something to make this
work. No. Stay away from me. Mr.
Runyon,
please don't let him touch
me.
Take it easy.
Now, really, Annabelle, you've come and control yourself. Come, I'll help you to your room.
I'm there.
She'll be all right. This is okay. I'll give her a chance.
Nice act, wasn't it?
Yeah, Frances. It was an act.
How are your nerves, Brown Eyes?
I'm ready for that drink you promised me.
There's a bar downstairs.
Complete with ghosts, bats, and witches.
And 30-year-old brandy.
Is that all?
That's charming. And I'll make it more charming. Brown Eyes. Things in this house that don't go together.
For instance?
You're a detective, aren't you?
I am. And detectives ask questions.
This is the only room in the house I like. Brutus likes it, too.
And Brutus was an honorable man.
You're nice. I like you. You're bright.
You're a lot smarter than you pretend to be.
Maybe. Yes, I know Brutus. I know him a lot better than the frustrated Annabelle or the pure and mighty Laura. Like me too, anyway. Maybe it was because I was like him. He built this bar, you know. He never lived to enjoy it.
You caused him a lot of worry.
I suppose Annabelle told you that. Yes, I guess I did my share. I didn't really like him. For all his faults, he was a real man. I like
you. Not yet, sweetheart. To drink.
All right, Brana. Here's to gloom and ghosts and murder.
He was murdered then?
Yes.
So you knocked over the bottle of pills?
No, Brown Eyes, I didn't knock over the bottle of pills. But I think I know who did.
Who?
Or maybe it's better to let sleeping dogs lie.
But sleeping dogs have a habit of waking up and biting.
Oh, Brutus was getting old when he died. Old and sick and tired. Maybe it was death.
Murder is never death.
See in that picture there at the end of the bar? That's the way I like to remember him. Handsome, arrogant, and smiling.
Well, this is Brutus, your father.
I hung it there just after... And what are you doing? Why are you taking it down?
Just a second, I'll show you.
Oh, don't take it out of the frame.
Hold it, sweetheart. Just a moment. Yeah, I'll get this out of the frame. Now, look here.
What? Why, the head of the picture has been cut out like a paper doll.
It's the face Annabelle saw in the window tonight. See how carefully it's been cut, so it could be put back against the rest of the picture.
Yes.
Whoever did it figured nobody would look closely at this picture if it was hanging on the wall in its frame. So they cut out the head, took it to the window tonight for Annabelle to see, then brought it back and put it in the frame again.
And she did see the face.
I'll say she did. It was dark outside. It was raining. Annabelle's nerves are sharp. All she really needed was a suggestion. This was more than that. It was her father's face.
But who could have done it? We were all there.
Not all. Thorn the butler wasn't in the room.
But I thought...
I was
sure.
I was what?
I see it all now. I know who murdered Father. It was... God! Somebody turned up the roof!
Princess!
What happened? What is it?
Oh, my
God.
The
person.
No, Laura. Your sister's dead.
No, no.
Somebody shot her from the head of the stairs. Didn't you see anybody?
Oh, no, no, I didn't.
Where were you?
I just taken Annabelle to her room up in the tower.
The tower?
That's what we call it. It's a turret overlooking a river.
Sir, I tell you, I don't know.
What happened, Ryan?
Francis.
Francis. Oh, she's dead, Dr. Taylor.
dead all right. Where did you get that gun, Taylor?
I met Thorne in the hall. He's holding this gun in his hand.
But I tell you, I found it on the floor.
Laura, you say you've just taken your sister Annabelle to her room.
Yes. She was so upset. Well, that gun says I stopped in my own room for a minute. He had to stop and turn down.
What is it? What's happened? Laura? Where is it?
Annabelle. You better go upstairs with Laura. Don't let her come down here, and don't tell her Francis has been shot.
Yes, I'll go. It's all right, Annabelle. I'm coming. It's nothing.
But Laura, I thought I heard shot.
It was nothing, Annabelle.
Give me that gun, Taylor. Two bullets down. All right. Let's hear your story, Taylor.
Well, we'd taken Annabelle to her room. We heard two shots and started down here. And then I saw Thorne. He was carrying this gun in his hand.
I told you I found it lying in the floor, sir. I was in the kitchen. I heard the shots and came to investigate. I picked up the gun just as Dr. Taylor came along.
It's not good enough, Thorne.
But, sir, I tell you,
look here on the bar, Thorne. Did you ever see this picture before?
Well, where did that come from?
It was hanging on the wall in that frame.
But somebody's come out the head.
That's the face Annabelle saw in the window tonight. How about it, Tom? Recognize it?
Well, of course I recognize it, sir. I've seen it many times, but I didn't cut it out like that.
He's lying.
No, no, I'm not lying.
It's no good, Tom. You murdered the old man by breaking his bottle of pills so he couldn't get at them when he had an attack. Then you must have threatened him to bring on the attack.
Sir, I can't.
You knew he was leaving you $10,000.
I knew that.
Then Annabelle got suspicious and called me.
But I...
And that scared you.
Well, no, I didn't know you were a detective.
But somebody else suspected you, too. The dead girl, then.
She said she heard something the night her father was murdered. And she was just about to tell me who the killer was when she was shot.
Please, you're making a terrible mistake.
I didn't kill anybody. You had the gun when Dr. Taylor found you upstairs. You admit that. And another thing. When Annabelle saw that face in the window tonight, you were the only one who wasn't in the room.
There's something about all this that doesn't add up, Dr. Taylor.
I don't see what. It's all there. It couldn't be anybody else but Thorne.
That's just what I mean. It's all too pat. I've got a feeling that I've overlooked something. Something that I did see but didn't notice. Something that's off key.
Operator!
I'll answer in a minute.
Yeah, not tonight, though. This phone's dead.
Dead?
Oh,
it's still raining pretty hard, and maybe the storm blew the line down. Sometimes on a rainy night like this.
That's it, Taylor. That's it.
What?
The rain.
I knew there was something wrong, something missing.
I don't understand.
You will. Come on. We're going up to the flower room to see Laura and Annabelle.
Thorne didn't murder anybody. But I know who did.
I was right. My father was murdered, wasn't he, Mr. Running?
He was murdered, all right. Who was Annabelle?
Oh, this picture. But it's been cut off. Why?
That's the face you saw in the window, isn't it?
Why, yes. Yes, it is. So that isn't. It wasn't a ghost.
You're sure this is what you saw?
Yes, I'm almost positive. Of course, it was dark outside, and the rain was pouring down.
I found this cut-out picture about 15 minutes after you saw it. It was absolutely dry.
Dry?
Why, what do you mean?
I mean this picture was never out in the rain, Dr. Taylor.
But it had to be if Annabelle saw it.
The point is that Annabelle didn't see her face.
I tell you, I didn't.
No, Annabelle. It was a swell scheme, wasn't it? Too good, in fact.
What are you driving at?
John didn't murder your father or your sister. You did, Annabelle. You killed your father.
Annabelle. You. Yeah, it's me. I killed him, Francis, too. I hated them. All of you. But I hated him most. For his servant. Yes, I killed him. Over his bottle pill. I frightened him out of his sleep. I killed him.
Francis heard the bottle break. She went into the hall to see what it was, and she saw you, didn't she, Annabelle?
Yes. But Annabelle called you, Mr. Runyon. She was the one who kept saying Father's been murdered.
Sure, sure. That was the throw us off the track.
Yes, I hate you. You all had everything. I have nothing. Why should any of you have been happy when I wasn't? Why should my sisters have been beautiful? Look at me. Look at me. I should have had three hearts, not me.
Stand up there.
There you are. She's sick.
Am I sick? Oh, you're clever. I'm very clever, Mr. Batman. Yes, you're clever.
Tearing her apart, distorting everything with hate and greed. She was sick, beyond hope. And the trouble and greed and hate and envy start boring away inside. That it's a person, a family, even a nation. The result is always the same. Defension, violence, death and destruction.